Philippians 3, verses 8 to 10. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Tell me the old, old story. If you would really be in any time of trouble a comforter to me, tell me the story softly with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. These words are extremely important to me. And may God bless me to be able to tell the story in the way God wants me to. The faith of Jesus. This is what we were reading in our scripture reading, that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 here, he says, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We need righteousness, and it must be found only through one path, and that is the faith. Did you notice the language? Not in Christ, the faith of Christ. The language of the Bible in reference to the faith that we are to have is repeated time and time again. If you were to punch into a technological device in the Bible and put in faith of Christ or faith of Jesus, you'll find it several times, quite a few. And of course, the one that is most relevant to us living in these last days is when it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So to have the faith of Jesus, we want to have a look at Jesus and explore this faith in action by beholding Jesus, that we may understand. We know that Jesus was, as a human being, sinless. He was without sin. He walked on earth as a man. He was made in all points like us. Why was he sinless? We are told by the angel to Mary in Luke chapter 1 that Jesus was born at birth from the source different to when we were born. Luke 1 verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Slip down to verse 34, because Mary asked him, how's that possible? Then said Mary unto an angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So when Mary conceived, she said, how's that possible? I have not a husband. He said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will infuse a holy thing. And many people read this and say, well, see, Jesus was a holy thing from birth. He has an unfair advantage, doesn't he? Because Jesus spoke about it in John 3, verse 6, where he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Well, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Therefore, people think, well, he was so holy, there was nothing there that would give me a comfort that I'm advantaged by him in some way. Because we are born of the flesh. The apostle says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But we keep on studying God's word, and we keep on discovering that, yes, he was born of the Spirit, but he was born of Mary as well. And the Catholic Church teaches the Immaculate Conception, that Mary had to be pure and holy before Jesus could be born of her, so that she would not impart to him any weaknesses of sinful flesh. But Christ was verily born of flesh as well of the Spirit. And this is further contemplated in Romans chapter 8, as we realize the flesh that he was born of. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit, but he also received our flesh. So there is something enlarged here, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. So the Spirit of God dwelt in Jesus, and he, although he was born of Mary in the flesh, yet the differentiation between the mind of the flesh and the physical flesh is clearly portrayed here, so that we don't have to be in the flesh, but in the Spirit, by permitting the Spirit of God to dwell in us. Jesus was that person who dwelt not in according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so Christ had life and peace. But when we are born only from the flesh, we are not of that peace. A flesh is disrupting. So many people think that Jesus had an advantage, but we want to learn from him. We want to learn from him that he had no advantage. When we become born again, if we come here to John chapter 1, the people who Jesus came to needed to accept him. They needed to have faith in him so that then God could do something with them. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says this: as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so it is incumbent upon us, if we will believe in Jesus, that we will let him create within us a new birth, to be born not the way we were born naturally, which we all know what the experience of that is, but that we would take Jesus and receive him, then God will give us birth from above, like Jesus. So then, Jesus does not have an advantage over us. So, the transformation that must take place in our mind, not in our flesh. Jesus was born in the same flesh than we were born. We were born of human parents, so was Jesus born of the human parent Mary. There is something that has to take place. We must be born of God according to the Spirit. And there it is in Romans 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a new birth, a transformation has to take place where? In our mind, not in our flesh. Our flesh is always the same. But our mind must dwell not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And there we have the direct message of God's Word to be transformed in the Spirit, in the mind, to understand something very important, that those who receive Jesus would be born not from the flesh, but from God, not of the will of man, but of God. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the announcement is plainly made in verse 14 to 16 that our natural human being cannot really receive and understand God. It must be given us of the Spirit. It says in verse 14 onwards, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Never forget that. I'm carnal. My natural carnal nature can't comprehend it. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But here it is. But we have the mind of Christ. And this is the important thing to understand, that the mind has to be born of the Spirit. A new mind has to be given us, and the Bible is very resplendent with those kind of expressions. So, Christ has no unfair advantage over the believer. He has no unfair advantage. But I want to take you through an experience of Jesus as he was born, at his birth, at his development, and how that faith that was in the mind of Jesus, that was born by the Spirit, how that mind that we are to be born by is to function so that we might have the righteousness of Christ by the faith of Jesus. So we will go through, in our imagination, the experience of Jesus from babyhood onwards. And as he grows, and as he develops, and as you follow carefully with the help of the Holy Spirit here as we explore this, as Jesus grows from babyhood to adulthood, we may be able to find where we fit in. When once I have been born of the Spirit, where do I fit in the growth of Jesus, in the development of Jesus, from baby to grown up? So when you see a little baby born, tiny little baby born, just freshly born, it's just in your arms there, it's helpless, isn't it? It is totally dependent on you, on the mother. Jesus was born like that. Just imagine, Jesus, the universal majesty of the universe, is a little helpless baby in Mary's arms. Unaware of his heavenly kingship, completely ignorant, unconscious. Do you remember when you were a little baby? No, neither did Jesus. He doesn't remember anything when he was a little baby. He was unconscious to his position. That's how we start. That's how he started in his experience. An unconscious baby, helpless, dependent. And if you receive and accept this and let that come into your human being's position, into your human body, through the Spirit, you receive a new mind. You receive a new mind. But that mind that you receive when you receive Jesus and you're born of the, from above, from God, not from the will of man, as you receive Jesus, there is the birth in your mind of a little unconscious baby in your mind. You're still you're an adult now, or a young person. You see everything the way that you're familiar with, but that little ingredient of God's mind that is born by the Spirit inside of you is like a little unconscious baby. Now you have the ingredient of Christ in you, the hope of glory in the mind. It is natural for a baby, isn't it, to be totally dependent. It's natural for the baby. It has total dependence and faith upon its mother. Can't govern itself, can it? The mother has to look after it. And that is the way a person, when he is born of God, starts. It's a little baby in the brain. It doesn't know. It is dependent upon God, upon the mother, the church. And you have a particular faith inside of you that is untaught. It's just there, a dependency. It's never been used before. All that you remember as in your personal experience is what you have used in your brain, but this is a new brain, a new mind, the mind of Christ, and it's a baby mind. It hasn't been used yet. You rely upon God like a little baby can't think for itself. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, reading verses 15 and 16. Here is a beautiful parallel to a child being born to a mother. Isaiah 49, reading there from verse 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of mine hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So here God is comparing himself with a mother. And as we receive Christ and we become children of God in the as little babies in the mind, there is the beginning of a life which God makes himself responsible for. As a mother caring for her child, he is saying this. So in us, when we are first receiving Christ, there is an unused exercising faith, an unused one, a faith that hasn't been used before, a baby faith. And we observe the baby Jesus in trying to observe how we will grow from that beginning. You see a little baby slowly exercising a faith unconsciously into a transformation of slowly becoming active in its mind, slowly. It is dependent upon mother, and it knows when mother's breast comes close, it goes like that, yeah? Goes for the breast because it's hungry. It only knows that by experience. And by something that is there in the faith, I'm hungry, and that's where it comes from. And away it sucks. Very beautiful, the milk of the word that we are to come for as a little baby. And baby Jesus was just like that. And as he grew from the mother's milk, as he developed, he begins to become conscious of his surroundings. He begins to sense energy that comes through the body as he develops. He sits up and he continues to trust his mother more consciously. He begins to recognize faces. And his mother's face he recognizes first. And you've seen little babies, haven't you? The baby is there in the mother's arms and it looks up and starts smiling. Yeah. Jesus was like that. The faith inside of us begins to become conscious that the Father in heaven is above me, and I can begin to, this is my God. I love him. And I smile. But it's all that we have in the beginning. And so very gradually, our faith becomes active. The faith of the mind that's been planted in us. Our faith becomes active to God, to the mother. And Isaiah 66 verse 13 is beautiful. We will understand God as a baby growing understands its mother. Where it says in Isaiah 66, 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66, 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. As the mind of Jesus inside of me, that little baby mind develops and becomes aware, it realizes the mothering care of God, and the heart begins to go out in total dependence consciously. And next, as that conscious faith begins to develop more and more, you realize that everybody around you is walking. A baby realizes mum and dad are walking, but I can't, I'm sitting here. And the child watches, and it slowly develops the ability in its mind to crawl around on and mobilize itself. First of all, some babies do it like a little spider. Others get up on their hands and knees and crawl along. And so the mind begins to develop the ability to motivate itself. Jesus was like that. And then the child is encouraged to get up on its feet. And as the child gets up onto its feet, it has to be held up a little bit, and then it begins to wobble, and then after a while, it can start to take, in the excitement of parents when the baby starts taking a step without being supported. But it relies on the mother, and that's faith. You're going to uphold me. I'm not going to fall while you hold me up. But now as the mind becomes developed, it begins to think, well, I'm going to try and do this without mum holding me. And so you see the baby taking some steps. And the next minute, kaplonk, down it goes. Did Jesus go through that? Indeed, he did. He didn't just get up and walk. He learnt to walk. When a baby wants to walk and it falls down, have you heard it crying sometimes? Yeah, it gets frustrated, doesn't it? Tries again, bam, plump, down it goes again. And what would Jesus' mind have done? Would it have become frustrated? No, Jesus would feel, he might have been tempted. That little faith might have been tempted to become, but no, it was a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind, as it flops down, it gets up again. It flops down and gets up again until it learns the skill of keeping the balance. We're learning to walk. Where are we in our spiritual experiences? Some people are at the early stages, others are further on. Others have already become grown human beings in Christ. But here is what I'm sharing with you is the process of the faith of Jesus that we must be intelligent in reference to. So Jesus learnt to not become frustrated and start crying because he couldn't walk straight away. And so indeed, now the faith of Jesus is revealing virtue, which is being exercised in him. Add to your faith virtue. No temper, no temper tantrums, no falls that create a temper inside of me. No, I will fall and try again. This is the spiritual experience. That when we fall because of our old habits, we will not become irritated. We will let the mind of Jesus help us to keep on going. Don't give up. You'll walk one day. And so, when we walk with the mind of Jesus, there will be a temptation to be frustrated, and frustrations come to us, don't they? But what are we to do? Add to your faith virtue. Learn from Jesus. Follow his faith. And so as Jesus grows and begins to understand more than just the skill of walking, more than just the dependence on a mother for providing him food, etc., etc., there comes a point where an understanding awakens in the mind of the child that mother is my teacher. She can teach me something. And you listen carefully. The baby listens carefully. Ah, mother's teaching me something. It's trying to help me here. Huh? What's that? The baby mind is learning that it needs to obey the instructions of a mother, of a father. And this is the development of the mind of Christ, like in us. We begin to realize God is trying to say something to me and I'm going, what are you saying? Oh, I have to do what you say. Oh, that's interesting. And so Jesus learned to listen to Mother Mary. She teaches him the Bible. And as his intellect develops and expands, he even learns to read, and he discovers with what is being taught to him, Mary told him, you were born not from your daddy, you were born from heaven. Really? He wakes up. Oh. So God is my father and you are my mother. The mind of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, he believes his mother. He has a faith that believes what mother is saying. It's the mind of Christ. And he becomes conscious that he is the Son of God. Can you remember, children, when he was conscious that he is the Son of God, when he said it? Can you remember? That's it, when he was 12. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So by the age of about 10 to 12, his faith had exercised itself to the point of knowing who he was. How did he know? Because of what he was taught. And he believed what he was taught. That's the faith of Jesus. And so you and I, as our mind, as the mind of Jesus, the faith of Jesus is installed into us and we develop like Jesus did, you become gradually conscious, I'm actually a son of God. And having had faith and exercised faith, and virtue, you add to virtue what? Knowledge. That's how it progresses. And the knowledge is that I am a child of God. I've been born of God. Oh, now my mind begins to really adjust itself to, if it's the mind of Christ, you see. It's the baby that has grown into teenage years. 1 John 3, verse 2. First John chapter 3, verse 2. Here is the statement. That's what Jesus had to learn, that he was the Son of God. We have to learn it too as our spiritual mind develops. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, faith of Jesus that is born by the Spirit is a faith that accepts the fact that I'm a son of God. And I don't know yet a lot of things, but I know I'm a son of God and I have to learn. So that one day I'm going to be just like him. That's the faith of Christ. No outward proof. I can't prove that I am exactly like Jesus, but I have been told I am to be like Jesus. And I'm learning. And you notice what I'm describing here is exactly what Sister White writes in one of her quotes. He says, the good traits will be increasing while the evil traits will be decreasing. That's the experience of God's people. That's the experience of the birth of faith, the faith of Christ, which produces the good traits and that develop by learning, by faith, the faith of Jesus. That his righteousness will develop within me while the evil traits will be diminishing as I'm walking and learning by faith. So, you believe what is written. That's the faith of Jesus. If it says that I am the Son of God and I have received Jesus, well, therefore, I am the Son of God. And now, I will continue to grow from childhood, youth, into the adult Jesus. But let's pause for a moment and read from the Spirit of Prophecy what to be expected in the development of this faith of Jesus by looking at his particular experience as is described in the Spirit of Prophecy in Desire of Ages, page 68, paragraph 2, where it says, wonderful in its significance is the brief record of his early life. Quote Luke 2:52, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The child grew and waxed strong. This is just what we described, isn't it? In the sunlight of his father's countenance. See, his faith looked to the father through his mother, and in the face, like a baby beginning to smile, it came about. He saw light, the sunlight of his father's countenance. His heart warmed. He loved his father in heaven. Jesus increased with wisdom and stature in the favor of God and man. He increased. It developed more and more. His mind was active and penetrating with a thoughtfulness and wisdom beyond his years. Other human beings weren't quite as advanced. Why? The fact is that he learned quickly what others take much longer to learn, especially if they haven't even been born again. But it says here, yet his character was beautiful in its symmetry. The powers of mind and body developed gradually in keeping with the laws of childhood. That's what I just described to you. He followed in keeping with the laws of childhood. So that by the time he was 12, as you said, he could say, I must be about my father's business. As a child, Jesus manifested a peculiar loveliness of disposition. His willing hands were ever ready to serve others. He manifested a patience that nothing could disturb and a truthfulness that would never sacrifice integrity. In principle, firm as a rock, his life revealed the grace of unselfish courtesy. That's what developed. And this is what is to develop in us as we realize who we are when we receive Jesus. Then we read the development further. It says, in Desire of Ages, page 86, paragraph 1, at a very early age, Jesus had begun to act for himself in the formation of his character. And not even respect and love for his parents could turn him from obedience to God's word. Interesting, isn't it? The development of Jesus was that he was forming a character. And that's what inside of us, with the mind of Jesus, the character begins to form. A different character than the one that we have had. Beautiful meditation. Even respect and love for his parents could not turn him from obedience to God's word. It is written, was his reason, for every act that varied from the family customs. But the influence of the rabbis made his life a bitter one. Even in his youth, he had to learn the hard lesson of silence and patient endurance. The hard lesson of patience and endurance he had to learn. Do you and I? With the mind of Jesus, I'm learning this. But I'm receiving this into an adult body or into an experienced body, and this is a tug of war, as we know so well. But I will learn through the faith of Jesus. One more quote from Desire of Ages, page 89, paragraph 6, where it says, from the time when the parents of Jesus found him in the temple, that was at the age of 12, his course of action was a mystery to them. He would not enter into controversy, yet his example was a constant lesson. So his faith would not enter into controversy. Isn't that interesting? We're learning that principle, not to enter into controversy, yet give an example of a constant, as a constant lesson. He seemed as one who was set apart. His hours of happiness were found when alone with nature and with God. Whenever it was his privilege, he turned aside from the scene of his labor to go into the fields, to meditate in the green valleys, to hold communion with God on the mountainside or amid the trees of the forest. The early morning often found him in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scriptures, or in prayer. From these quiet hours, he would return to his home to take up his duties again and to give an example of patient toil. Are you learning your lesson of faith of Jesus? It's so beautifully portrayed. The life of Christ was marked with respect and love for his mother. Mary believed in her heart that the Holy Child born of her was long promised Messiah, yet she did not express her faith. And so it goes on, how Jesus had to suffer in the family to follow God's way contrary to the customs of the world. And it is beautiful when we are born into a Christian family, as you children are born, and if you can learn this lesson from Jesus early and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you have an easier road than those who have had to travel up through a broken home, through a violent home, through all those ugly experiences that the people suffer today. So we see Jesus, his humble life. In the faith of Jesus, he continued for up to 30 years. He was the Son of God, but what did he submit to? Not the ministry for 30 years. He worked as a carpenter. In other words, we also should be content with a spiritual mind to fulfill the humble roles of life. Be content with that. That's the mind of Jesus. That's the faith of Jesus. He was just a worker, faithfully, contentedly doing that work as a good carpenter. He had the power to do miracles. But did he? Not yet. It wasn't ready yet. Faith was not yet permitted to function that way. So it is with us. We may have the power to do miracles because the faith of Jesus is in us, but we're not ready yet. Just work patiently. The faith of Jesus. Very, very important here. In action. And then as you look at Jesus, you see, you imagine the forces of Satan against him. You see him in the wilderness. Not only at the wilderness, but before that. Satan was against him from the time of his birth. And as Jesus had to meet this, so do we. From the time of our spiritual birth, we will meet Satan all the way. He will try to crush out of us anything that is godly. The divine power to resist Satan, to overcome him, is available to the person who has that mind of Christ. It says it very powerfully in James 4, verse 7 and 8. What is the spiritual mind to do? The mind of Christ? It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourself to God. Be like Jesus. Submit to God. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The spiritual mind that develops, that hasn't yet done miracles, can conquer Satan. By faith. The faith of Jesus. And then you see him coming to the point of baptism. Jesus was baptized at the age of 30. And for the first time in his life, before it was all by faith, but now for the first time in his life, there was a voice that came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the first time he heard that voice. Before that time, it was all by faith. So we might be many years in the experience of a Christian, many years, but we've never heard a miraculous intervention. Now, I know this experience very well until one day the Lord actually showed me a miraculous intervention in my life. It took me years to discover that. That's because the faith of Jesus was like that. We're following in his footsteps. So for the first time, he heard the assurance that he was the Son of God. So we may have to wait for supernatural affirmations to our sonship that we are actually cared for by God. We might have to wait. And as we study then the ministry of Jesus after his baptism, he went into the wilderness, we study what he went through, and when we really come to the confirmation that we are the sons of God and we have it firmly embedded in us, I am a child of God, I know it now, before it was just by faith, now I know because I've got the evidence, up comes Satan with greater power. The wilderness temptation. And as we grow in our experience with Jesus, the teaching and the miracles and the sufferings and the death are all the life of the faith of Jesus in us. And it's interesting that all that Jesus did, his ministry, all the victories that he had, right through to the point of his death, what did Jesus say all the way along? What was the faith of Jesus? We come there in the Bible to John 5, verse 19 and 30. John 5, this is the faith of Jesus. All the way through his life, this was his action of faith. And this is what we learn from him. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Very important words. The faith of Jesus is one that waits to be told what God wants him to do. And then he does what God shows him, not of himself. You have that repeated in verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. This is the faith of Jesus. I don't do what I want to do. I wait till I'm told. This is the faith of Jesus. This is the mind of Jesus. And we are to have Christ's righteousness by his faith. This is what Jesus said in John 15, verse 5. I can of my own self do nothing, neither can you if you are in me. John 15, reading there, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's the mind of Christ. This is the faith of Jesus. And Jesus, the man, comes to his death. And you know the story of Gethsemane and of the cross. He comes to his death and he finally comes to an experience that is beyond him, just like we have studied in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. A time of Jacob's trouble, a time to conquer even our sinful flesh. Jesus came to that and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The faith of Jesus was being severely tested. So we must die if we have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, by faith, the faith of Jesus, I will know whether I die or live, I will be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. You know that scripture so well in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. We don't have to mourn for the dead. They are in Christ Jesus. They will rise, and the person who goes to death will know this. Jesus had to overcome. Jesus had to overcome even death. And as he overcame, he received a reward. What was his reward? He, as a man, overcame as a man, as we have just been looking at this, and he received a reward. What was his reward? And if we will have the faith of Jesus, what is our reward? Revelation 3, verse 21. It's so beautifully put, where he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. What was the reward of Jesus? He was able to be lifted to the throne of the Father as a man. What can we be? It says, if you overcome by the faith that I exercised, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. That's the reward. Therefore, for us then, and I'm going to spend a few more Sabbaths on this subject of the faith of Jesus. We've just seen the overview of this. We want to go into some greater depths, but the faith of Jesus means that I will have the mind of Christ. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9 is what we were reading for our scripture reading. And very, very much related there to that scripture reading. Philippians chapter 2, reading there verses 5 to 9. Here is the call. This is the call to us. Receive Jesus and you will be born from on high. You will have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Let it be. Believe it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There's his reward. And let this mind be in you. Conquer, as the apostle expressed it there in our scripture reading, that he left everything go for Jesus. He was born of God. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We've gone through the exercise of meditation on this now. God grant us to identify our position in this and to hasten our growth to the point that we may overcome as Jesus overcame. God grant us this, is my prayer. Our only chance to be like Jesus Our only chance to be like Jesus is to let his mind be in you. Let the faith of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, function and control. Amen.